You've been wasting your time and money entering film festivals. Let's change that.
I haven't been wasting my time. I mean, I am broke, and all I got was a PNG of a Laurel.
The Like It Film Festival uses people with an audience to help poor dummies like that get actual exposure for their films.
Stop calling me dumb.
Entering the Like It Film Festival allows influencers to spread the word on your films. If you enter other festivals, you are dumb.
Seriously, I'm not dumb.
I don't speak dumb, but if I did, I would tell that guy that winning films and podcasts will be featured on our Rizzle, TikTok, and Instagram channels that total in the hundreds of thousands of fans watching.
I'm not dumb. One time I used a toothbrush in the wrong direction, but that has nothing to do with my film career.
Enter your films into the world's largest film festival today. Like It Film Fest.
Occasionally on the Hack Thought Podcast, we plumb the depths of our moral aptitudinous. This is a moral Michael. Moral situation number 10. You are approached by an alien, if not off-world creature, who says, unbeknownst to you, they have looked through all the genealogy and searched through the universe, and you, Bill, or listener, are the heir to the throne of their planet and sole dictator in their government. What do you do? How do you feel?
I'd be speechless. I guess in this one, even based off of prior conversations we had, I'm going to remove currently the alien aspect of just there is currently a being that I've never encountered on this earth that I have in some way been confirmed that is not from this planet, that information. So I'm already just kind of speechless and
Yeah, I'll remove it for you. This happens in such a way that there's not going to be no evidence if you say no or if you refuse or whatever. Like, the only way that you're going to be able to prove any of this is happening is by going to the alien planet. I'm guessing you can bring your loved ones with you, but you can't bring the whole of Earth with you, and you won't be able to contact us. Yeah. So I'll remove it for you if that makes it.
Yeah, easy. I mean, if there's no hidden fee, if there's no hidden issue, I mean, I wouldn't want to be a dictator of a planet. I don't like the idea of a dictatorship, and B, I don't feel like I'm the best person to be in that kind of position of power. I'm interested in
that second part.
It's like, I don't want to rule your planet, but can I at least see it? Like, can I get a free trip back and forth with a loved one at least? Of just like, I'd like to see your planet, but I don't know if you really want me running it. I feel like I'm gonna fuck something up and you're gonna end up on fire, or it's gonna be Krypton in 2 weeks.
So I'll throw this out there. There's two ways it can break, right? The one way it breaks is hey, you're the heir to the throne. We're going to have a problem if you don't say yes. And then the other way that it breaks is, if you don't say yes to us right now, we'll just cross you off the list and go to the next person. And we'll be out of this room. So essentially they come to you. You're in your bedroom alone. You know,
yeah.
Maya's gotten up for the day. You're just laying there. And they come in, no one's home, no one's there, no one can hear them. They blurp right in and they're like, you're the dictator of this planet, get your pants on, call whoever you want us to bring to the other planet that wants to come with you. Otherwise, we're busy, we need a new king.
Am I wearing a headset and is it Van Halen? Yes.
There's two ways it breaks, which, so you can, that's how I view it in terms of making sense of it. Either it's we're going to cause big trouble for you if you don't come, you're coming no matter what.
Yeah. I mean,
or it's it just happens. And then you remember the one day that you rejected being king of a planet, but no one would believe you.
Yeah. It's I could honestly live with that. It'd be one of those, especially because that's almost
really,
this is, I feel like I could. I mean, the only part that I wouldn't be able to live with is if they said, hey, we're in trouble and we need you. I would feel
No, it's not a last Starfighter.
If people don't know that, it's a shorthand for me and Bill, which then I have to explain. Last Starfighter, a kid gets really good at a video game, and then these aliens come down and say, we planted that video game on Earth to find our new commander. Sort of a play on Ender's Game. But it's not that. They're not in trouble.
Okay. I don't know. I feel like I could. I feel like I could. Because it's just like...
Bill, no one else in my life would be able to get through a summary of Last Starfighter and be like, of course, of course, of course, of course. Yeah, I just want to let you know that in terms of our knowledge.
That was one of the few movies that my family agreed on. Like, my mom was usually the one that didn't like a lot of movies.
And so that's how I heard about Last Starfighter. This is a fucking hilarious. You're the second. The only reason I heard about Last Starfighter is because I had a friend and it would sit underneath their TV because it was the same thing. That it was a kiddie movie that the whole family would watch and not moan about. That's so weird.
Yeah, yeah, it really was. It was like there were a small handful of movies that were ones that my mom enjoyed, because my mom just, like, I mean, she was in the business, but she just left it. Was just like, I am good with never watching things ever. Everything to me, I can see what's going on behind the scenes. I hate everything. And there were like two main movies I always remember that were ones that she loved. And so I did independently enjoy them, but then the enjoyment was amplified because it was like the whole family's actually digging this. It was, oddly enough, that and Buckaroo Banzai.
Fucking, why is that one? Buckaroo Banzai is the weirdest movie ever.
I think it's not about plot. It's about, like, I guess, like, I don't know. It's either like the genuineness of how, like, the performances, and maybe it was like during early enough in some of these guys' careers that she's like, well, they weren't shitty enough at this point yet. So I'm like, I enjoy this. But yeah, those, and I think actually it was the bonkers premise. She was like, I've not seen this. Like, it's such a weird choice they made. People.
Again, amazingly, this was a movie that, okay, so here's my thing about Buckaroo Banzai before Bill summarizes the plot of it. It is a movie that all film nerds know. None of us really like it, but we all know it. And it's this like virtue signal of like, I know Buckaroo Banzai, and I'm going to tell you I know Buckaroo Banzai, and we're going to kind of pretend that we're all very versed in Buckaroo Banzai, but it's more of like, I know movies thing. And so like Buckaroo Banzai being in Ready Player One, I was like, yeah, perfect movie to put in a movie that proves you know movie references, mm-hmm. because that's the movie reference that movie nerds make to each other. Like, it was so spot on, I couldn't believe it, because it's like, that's the movie reference we make to each other so that people know, like, I actually know things about movies. Even though it's not a particularly good movie.
It's not a good movie, but I like it. I will say I like that movie.
There's nothing wrong with it, like, but it's not like...
It's a good bad movie. It's like, yeah, it's like, it's...
Right.
Also, it's just John Lithgow giving his all. Like, I love John Lithgow in that movie. He's just,
Here's the thing about Buckaroo Banzai. This is what it is. It's like, it's the opposite, it's the inverse, not the opposite of 2001, yeah. Where people will come to me and talk, and I've studied 2001. I've read the book. I've read books about the book and books about the movie. I'm very into 2001, A Space Odyssey. Big Kubrick fan, learned all about how he did the effects and all these different things and his process. That's what it takes to understand 2001. But people will reference 2001, and I'll be like, I don't think you really understand what that movie's about, or watched it, or really learned anything about it, and you're just kind of saying it to try to impress me. And so if you reference 2001 around movie nerds, filmmakers, they'll be like, I'm sure. And, like, that doesn't get you anything. Somehow, Buckaroo Banzai, not making any waves in effects, not making any waves in story, not very, you know, not going to blow anyone's minds... Somehow that is like the virtue signal of like, I know all about movies, Buckaroo Banzai.
I think it was by Dan O'Bannon, and he went on to do, like, he was connected to Alien. He also did Return of the Living Dead.
What did he do in Alien?
I think he wrote it. I think he, or oh, story. I think, because Dan O'Bannon, I think, did that I'll need to double check, but he was.
I'm looking at,
obviously he didn't direct it, but it's like he did story, or
we've never looked stuff up on the show. I'm looking it up while you tell the people.
Because then he either wrote or directed Buckaroo Banzai.
I'm gonna find out.
Yeah.
Tell people. I'm looking it up, so instead of you guessing. Tell people the plot of Buckaroo Banzai
is about. So Buckaroo Banzai himself is a rock and roll time traveling, or like rock and roll dimension traveling astronaut scientist. Like, I wish I was making that up, and I'm not. He's just this, like, jack of all trades, but master of all somehow. Like, and he he is working, he's on the good guy team of trying to crack, I think he's trying to crack the sound barrier, or a different level of the sound barrier, and I think he's on the good guy team of trying to basically, like, do dimensional hopping, and then there's the evil guy who is, and so there initially in the story, Buckaroo Banzai's mentor was working with another scientist who was the more bad evil one. He's just willing to do it for any means, and he tried to, much earlier in their, like, by, I think when Buckaroo Banzai was a kid, he tried to go to a different dimension, got stuck halfway and lost his mind. And so he breaks out of the insane asylum he's in and is determined to also break the, because he has a connection now to these, this other interdimensional space aliens. It's like, and so it's kind of just like the battle between them and God. I sound like a mad person explaining this, but it's kind of all accurate.
Movie. It's not your fault. Yes. You're doing a great job explaining it.
And this is where I even get confused, where there's like, it's interdimensional, but then there's still
You're doing space, better than me.
Yeah, but then there's still space aliens, and
space is important for some reason, even though it has to do with the sound barrier, which has nothing to do with it's
yeah, and then for whatever, but I remember it was always about going super fast, and like it would go so fast they would break through time and space or something. And then for some reason the aliens all have decided that they're going to all pretend to be, is it John Taylor? It's some name like John Taylor, and they've all got Jamaican accents. And that's what they do. For whatever reason, that's the aliens. And they don't explain it. They just kind of drop it there. And it's bizarre. And it's kind of, I think you either love it or you hate it. I don't think there's a middle to this movie.
No, there isn't. I'm on the hate side.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I don't know if I would like it.
Well, you have some childhood memories.
Yes. I have not seen it since easily.
Oh, another one I saw as an adult. I never saw it as a kid.
Okay, yeah, I saw it as a kid, and then the last time I saw it was probably pre-college. Like, it's been a while, so I'm sure a lot of it has not aged well. It's cool to see it's randomly very early performances from a bunch of actors who are very prevalent in, like, not all A-listers, but people that you've seen all the time and heard their voice.
Okay, so let's be clear here. Dan O'Bannon had nothing to do with Buckaroo Banzai.
Oh, you didn't? Okay, shit. Okay, then I'm wrong. I'm sorry.
But Dan O'Bannon is secretly, I guess, one of my favorite screenplay writers, and I didn't know it.
I thought he did. Okay, I'm totally wrong.
Not only did he do the Heavy Metal movie, which is like one of my favorite movies, if you don't know, done by the brilliant animation that brought you so many other like amazing, it's too much to get into why the Heavy Metal movie and Fire and Ice are important movies to the world of like animation. But like, he also did like recently, like super, so there was the Aliens video game in 2013, which I never played. I want to play it.
Well,
but then like recently Dan O'Bannon he not only wrote for the video game, but wrote like all these shorts. Have you seen any of these Alien shorts?
Did I look at the wrong guy? Because the Dan O'Bannon I'm thinking of died in like 2012 or something.
Well, the Dan O'Bannon associated with Aliens is alive and well and has written Alien shorts and an unannounced prequel for Aliens as recent as 2019 before the pandemic.
Kind of wanted to be the same Dan O'Bannon. I'd like to see that he's still keeping active even after.
Yeah, even though you killed him off. What has he done? He has no association with Alien. Like, I
does he not
everything.
Have any is he not connected?
I mean, with Buckaroo Banzai.
What about Return of the Living Dead? Is he connected to that?
Yes. You nailed everything except
okay,
Buckaroo
so,
Banzai.
Okay, so yeah, the one I'm seeing.
And Total Recall, which is a fucking amazing
The one
movie.
I'm seeing, he died in 2009.
Okay, now this is turning into
Billy. And O'Bannon and wrote the screenplay for Alien. How many N's are in this O'Bannon?
Double N.
Really? Okay.
Dan O'Bannon won in 2019.
Unless Wikipedia is totally lying to me.
You know what it might be? You know, with writers, they get, so there's a, if it wasn't obscure enough talking about Buckaroo Banzai, and I forget what the fuck we were even talking about in the first place. okay. So here's how the Writers Guild of America works. When you create a character, you actually get a symbolic token payment for creating that character. So if you write, par exemple, for The Simpsons, a show that's been going on all these years, and you create, say, for instance, Duffman, Simpsons character. Every time they use Duffman, they have to pay you a small fee, which is symbolic of your creative ingenuity. So, and it's only once per the writing of the episode. And it's like, I mean, I've heard as low as $3 in some instances. And you know, as high as other amounts, but really, like, it's just supposed to be like crediting you as a writer for creating something in this world. I believe that the continuation of his credits are perhaps because he created the character, and that's what I'm seeing.
I can see that, yeah. And in the one I have, he did write Alien, but he has no
connection to Buckaroo Banzai.
That is true. I was totally wrong about that.
Okay, but this is my favorite screenwriter ever, and I want to watch all these Alien shorts. I will tell a story about Prometheus, the worst movie made. I hate Prometheus. I think it's dog shit. And I was, let's say, in an intimate situation, and the dialogue in Prometheus is so bad that I stopped that intimate situation to laugh at the dialogue from Prometheus. So that's how bad I think Prometheus is. But he wrote Total Recall. He wrote all the Aliens, Return of the Living Dead, Blue Thunder, and Heavy Metal. Like, fuck yeah.
I hate Blue Thunder, though.
Yeah, but the writing in the Heavy Metal movie isn't great. But, like, still. Man.
Yeah.
Who even knew this guy? Anyway, you're the dictator of an alien planet.
I still... Yeah, I don't want to be the dictator of anywhere. That sounds... And... But...
He did write Invasion from... anyway, fuck off. We're going to talk about...
Then I'd do it.
He wrote Invasion from Mars. Is that what you're thinking of? That I would put in the same category as Buckaroo Banzai.
No, I was full on 100% wrong. I thought he like... I thought this was like his only directing credit. That's how... That is how wrong I am about this... About his association with Buckaroo Banzai.
And in case you're wondering, everyone, the name of the title is not just Buckaroo Banzai, which would already be a batshit stupid title. It's The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension.
Yeah.
Dumb movie. I don't care that you have childhood memories to it.
It's got Peter Weller in it. It's got Jeff Goldblum in it. It's got Clancy Brown in it. It's got Doc Brown in it.
Peter Weller, someone that we really need. Jeff Goldblum, yeah. Peter Weller, someone that we really need to see. Somebody watched RoboCop and was like, well, shit.
Now, RoboCop hadn't come out yet, so... That was 87.
Oh, even better.
Yeah, that was 87. This was 84.
Even better. Someone wrote Buckaroo Banzai and then was like, you know what you'd be good at? Not having your face shown on screen or showing any emotions. That's how good Buckaroo Banzai is. It's like, you know what you'd be really, really sweet at is a character who literally isn't human anymore. You'd be good at that. We could get a computer to play it. While we're on that, by the way, every Halloween I play this for somebody. Have you, the song Daisy that is sung in 2001, yes. While we're talking about this. Have you heard the original recording as to why they play that in 2001?
I have not.
So if you don't know this, look it up. Speech to computer. This goes with the sketch that we've already released about. You don't even know I am a human already. I am such a real boy, Pinocchio. You do not know it. I'm doing your advertisements in my boy voice. Computers being able to speak was a big thing when computers first started because of the Turing test. And there exists this recording, which has a harrowing tale that every Halloween I try and play and read the story of. Computers were becoming a big thing towards the end of the Cold War. And the idea that there was this intelligent computer and all these different things in the I'm talking 50s when computers are sort of starting before 2001. And these high military people were brought into the basement of, I think, IBM. And we're like, we're making all these advancements in computers. Here's our most advanced computer. It knows how to speak English. And it then played the most harrowing performance of Bicycle Built for Two, sung by a computer in like 1961, and it's bone-shittingly terrifying. Like, it's a computer being like Daisy, and it's and they show, and the video on YouTube of it is like the black and white IBM's, you know, facility with the giant punch hole computers from like 1960s, and it's absolutely the most terrifying. And like the idea that you that Arthur C. Clarke would know about that moment and write it into 2001, it's like where fiction cannot be scarier than real life. Like the computer trying to murder people in space because of a directive from an alien is not nearly as scary as all these military officials on Earth being brought to the basement of a company and being surrounded by a computer singing a British love tune to them. Like, absolutely harrowing. I suggest this Halloween, which is around when this episode will come out, go into your basement, turn on, go into a dark, dark room, turn that on, and try not to piss yourself and look at your phone the next day. Anyway, who did direct this dog shit?
It's
Buckaroo Banzai.
I've never heard his name before.
W.D. Richter. He did Stealth, the movie also about, which was a, this is so weird, because Stealth is like a reference. Yeah, I've never seen it, but it's a reference to 2001. He directed Big, he wrote Stealth, and he wrote Big Trouble Little China.
Oh.
Wow. He wrote Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the original.
Oh, wow.
He, or the 1978,
the 78
one before
one.
That too, right?
I like that one.
But isn't there one before the 78?
Yes, there was like, it was like 58 or something. Or yeah,
that's the one with Sutherland. That's the best one. He wrote a Dracula 56. In 79.
Well, it just be a Dracula. This is a story of a single Dracula.
Of a Dracula. Sex in the City, Sex in the Dracula. And he's apparently writing another Big Trouble Little China. Boy, that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Anyway, he wrote Slither. Okay. Yo, like, Slither is this another movie just like Buckaroo Banzai where film nerds know about it, but like, it's not a popular movie. And it's, I put Slither in this category of films I'm the most passionate. Like, if I write a book about film history, it's going to be called Big at the Time. And I actually want to write this book. It's called Big at the Time. And it's about movies like Slither, Da Vinci Code, Alex Mack, the TV show. And it's going to be all about things that like are forgotten to history, but were like the biggest deal when they were out.
Click on the Slither. Is it this? Are you thinking of the 2006 one that's James Gunn?
No. No. I'm not thinking of the 2006 okay. one. This is the one I'm thinking of. Right?
I'd never heard of this
no,
movie.
No, wait. No, wait. You're right. It is the other Slither with the cameras. In 2006, right?
Yeah, like that's. I think it's like James Gunn. That's like an early the Gunning.
Where they're watching them on cameras, everything's happening through a security room. I might be thinking of Sliver.
Oh, maybe it's.
This is what me and Bill talk about. Congratulations. Have fun. Hold on. Yes, Sliver is what I'm thinking of. So he didn't write. I've never heard of this with James Caan.
Yeah, same.
James Caan. But James Caan would be in my book too. You know what would be in there? Thief.
Oh, yeah.
That's a movie that's huge at the time. And then people watch Drive and they're like, yeah, this is so great. And it's like, it's literally a remake of Thief. Drive would be in there too, though, because that's a dog shit movie that everybody loved. Anyway, okay. So you're the dictator of this. So you're not going? You're not going on the trip?
I don't.
By the way, welcome to what me and Bill could do for like another 6 hours and have fun.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even go?
No, again, I would want to go see the planet. I just don't know if I want to be the dictator of that planet.
Okay, but I know I'm saying you wouldn't even go. But let me say, if you go, like, you got to fight to get back. Like, they need a king. They're only coming to Earth because they're like, our planet, our people only function with a dictator. And we'll listen to whatever you say. Like, there's no insurrection. The other king dies from old age. Like, we need someone to lead our planet. That's how our people work.
Like, it's still, like, ruling a place does not sound fun to me. Like, I...
Not even there's no bone in you that would do that.
I guess, I mean... Okay, I can't say there's not a bone in me that wouldn't do that, but like, it's, I feel like it's like 96% of me is like, but I, it's not what I want to do. Like, that is an entire change of everything I can think of. Like, no part of me, even on Earth-based, is like, I'd like to run for a position of power. It's like, I mean, again, like, I guess not technically true. It's like, yeah, I'd like to be head of a, like a, like a company, or like to like be the head of a movie, like the one of the top people in a movie, but it's like not I feel like it's like ruling a planet. Not only is it ruling something, it's like you need to go to I guess you said I can bring loved ones, but it's just like uprooting us and changing everything we've ever known.
Which would be the case if you were a government official here too.
Yeah, which is also why I really
your whole world would be upside down.
Yeah, I have from what it is now. No interest in being a government official of any low level amount. Like,
so here's my thing. Look, there's a lot of really bad dictators. Maybe it comes from coming from animation. I have said I always love that God shit in animation where you're just like, this is grass here. I am God. I made grass for these people that walk around. I have made your face the shape in my pleasing. I control this drawn universe. You are my little homunculi. I can kill you off, little animated things. But like, I'm so into the idea of being the dictator of an alien planet. Assuming I'm in charge.
Yeah.
This isn't a coup. This isn't me overthrowing anyone. I'm really in charge.
I get that. No, I get that.
You're not into it.
I'm not really that into it. Like,
I would say yes so quickly, it would make your head spin. Here would be my one question. Can my loved ones and my pets come? Yes. Boom, let's go. It would be so quick, I'd forget stuff. I wouldn't pack. I don't think I would pack. That's how into this idea I am.
Okay. Yeah. I can get that. It's not a thing. Like, I don't know. It doesn't sound like what I want to do. It's not.
But you can make movies on that planet.
It's still just
you're then the king of the planet.
I guess I'm adding in elements that I do. I guess it's the whole free will thing again, damn it. But it's like, I don't know, but if I'm on that planet, I'm in the king and I'm making movies, like, do they have to like them? Because I want to get legitimate, like, I don't want a Stonecutters moment. Yes, that's a Simpsons reference. Sorry. Bring back pop culture, but it's like
Steve Guttenberg.
Yeah, I don't want to just make Steve Guttenberg a star. I want him to earn it. I don't want like to be playing pool and it's all set at an angle that I immediately get all the points in. And it's like,
I forgot that was one of the ones.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. If I make a crap product, I need to know it's a crap product. And it's like, not to say that they won't do that, but it's like, I'm already going to be learning the new structure and life system of this planet. I want to make sure that in my case, I think it might be funny. Does it work? And I don't want, yes, leader, we love it.
So I have two minds about this. One is the first part you said, which is like, you'd be learning the new culture. So like, it would be an artistic experiment either way. But I think putting art into it is a hard thing to do. I have always wanted to write, and I believe in telephone dieting, I achieved this. So I have always wanted to write a funny joke in another language. And I don't know if this joke that I wrote in telephone dieting is funny to the people who speak that language, but it's certainly funny to the people who speak English and know a little bit about that language. So telephone dieting was this documentary I made about dieting. And at the end of it, I got influencers to sell bags of air as diet tools. I actually got people to do it, real people to sell it. One of the big points I wanted to illustrate was testimonials and how you could go on Fiverr and buy testimonials from people. And I got doctors to do it, a real MD to say, I'm a doctor, which is illegal. It's a crime to do that, to say you're a doctor and make a medical recommendation without the proper warnings. And I also got someone to translate it into Spanish, which I had translated it into Spanish myself and made blatant grammatical errors to make it funnier. And it is the funniest thing I've ever written, in my opinion. Hearing the I'll put it in right now if I can find the I know where the clip is. But hearing this guy in Spanish speaking the Spanish I wrote and then say bag of air, which is what I wrote in, that I wrote the correct Spanish and then it was bag of air, is the funniest thing in the world, that someone trying to, that someone in a different language would sell this bullshit. And so that's the closest I think I've come to write. So the idea of going to another planet and making a film that connects with them would definitely be appealing to me. But at the same time, Bill, you'd be king.
The king.
No part of you wants to be king.
No, I not really. No. Like,
I mean, on Earth, it sounds terrible because it's Earthlings and like, I know some of them and like, ugh,
it's whatever. Not even, I don't know. I've never been like, and it's not like I don't want to be a leader. I always want to be a follower, but it's like, I don't want to be.
What's stopping you from wanting to be
the leader? It's just, it's like that kind of responsibility is stuff that I'm not like, that doesn't appeal to me. Like, I'm happy to take on responsibilities, but it's like. Like,
you know what, to be fair, I think it being an alien planet is part of what made it more appealing to me. The idea that I don't give a shit about aliens versus humans is definitely part of it and probably would make me a bad king on that planet.
Yeah, because in my mind, I still care about, I want to care about these aliens, like in a scenario, or ideally, my goal would be to hopefully care about them, because obviously, like, I'm assuming in this scenario, it's pretty sudden. So like, it's not like, oh, well, zap my brain, let me know everything there is to know about these. Like, I doubt that's part of the plan, but but it's like, for me to be comfortable anywhere, I would need to have some form of like comfort level or understanding. And it's like, if I would ideally want to be able to care for these creatures or this, like whatever they want to go by. And it's like, I would want to be able to make that connection. And it's just like, and so then I will care for them. It's like, I want to make sure, like, are all of you fed? Are all of you housed? Like, and then there's like a lot of the, I don't know, I feel like the actual going into ruling of a place stuff that's just like, I don't want to do that. Like, I want to make sure everybody's in a house, but I don't want to be like, oh crap, but part of the infrastructure budget is going to, we need to make sure we have the canopy. If the canopy's not there, we're not going to be able to get the sunlight that's going to allow the Galapazorp creatures to be able to thrive.
You've got advisors though for the Galapazorp.
Yeah, but it's still like, so, but it's still like, I want to, but it's still like, it's my reins and I want to make sure everybody's doing all the things. And it's like,
wow.
Part of me,
it's
like,
really affecting you being a king.
Well, yeah. And it's like, part of me is like, I would take that job seriously. But if it's the me I am now, I don't want that job. Like I want to be doing entertainment things. I want to be trying to make a movie or a sketch series. Like, that's what I want to do.
You could make it Planet Comedy.
I could, but it's like, if it's a pre-existing planet and that's like kind of disrupting every, like, it'd be like, I'm not really that into comedy. Sorry, too bad. I'm the ruler. Make it a comedy.
But even if you made half the planet comedy.
I feel like this is, God damn it, it's going back to The Simpsons, which is like, all right, know this for all, but tiny American flags for others. Just kind of like, it's one of those of like, it's just,
yeah.
It's just still kind of generalizing like chunks. And it's like, I hate being generalized at times, and it's like, and I say that with the privilege I have in my life, and it's just like, I wouldn't want to do that to other creatures that I'm also just learning about. It's like, hey, so don't even know if comedy is the same interpretation on your world that it is to me.
Yeah.
Comedy on your world could be eating each other and enjoying it. Like,
well, then that's what they like. But what if that's your, I mean, what if they are just bloodthirsty? What if you go to a Klingon planet? You know, they love killing.
Yeah, that would be a bummer, and I would not.
Yeah,
I would.
Well, the moral of this is I'm fine being a dictator of an alien planet, and Bill is taking it so seriously. Anyway, vote for me for world leader.
I'd
be fine, like Cobra Kai forever.
You've been wasting your time and money entering film festivals. Let's change that.
I haven't been wasting my time. I mean, I am broke, and all I got was a PNG of a Laurel.
The Like It Film Festival uses people with an audience to help poor dummies like that get actual exposure for their films.
Stop calling me dumb.
Entering the Like It Film Festival allows influencers to spread the word on your films. If you enter other festivals, you are dumb.
Seriously, I'm not dumb.
I don't speak dumb. But if I did, I would tell that guy that winning films and podcasts will be featured on our Rizzle, TikTok, and Instagram channels that total in the hundreds of thousands of fans watching.
I'm not dumb. One time I used a toothbrush in the wrong direction. That has nothing to do with my film career.
Enter your films into the world's largest film festival today. Like It Film Fest.